Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Record this?
All right.
Go.
Two.
There we go.
Hey, y'all. You know what that means? Road Tripping with RJ and Channing. Episode number 2 is officially underway, coming at you from beautiful New Orleans. Yes, it is beautiful here, and it is January. This is the home of All-Star 2017 festivities in a couple weeks, which we will get to in a minute. But first, I'm your host, Allie Clifton, and I'm so fortunate to run the sidelines all season long with these two awesome guys. Never say that I don't speak nicely about you two. To my right, Channing Frye.
What up?
And hey, how about this? Can you guess what or how many road games you've played in your career?
Me?
Yeah.
Okay, so I have a math disability, so you're basically asking me to go into anxiety.
Here we go.
It's been diagnosed, and I took math for 4 years.
How many games do you think you've played?
Regular,
41.
Regular and postseason combined.
So 41, so 410.
You're on the clock. 410? Actually, that wasn't bad. 401.
You know, your boy can step up sometimes.
To my left, then, is, of course, the ever-so-young Richard Jefferson.
Yeah.
How many do you think you've played?
500 and
let's be honest. No, you're really off.
How many?
624.
God, I've played a lot of games. That's
624. Do you feel like you've played that many?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I feel like I've played more than that. Road games.
Yeah.
Is that including playoffs?
Yep, that's post and regular season combined.
I have been fortunate. Someone told me I played in 120 playoff games. So,
but only four of those really count. So it's all good.
There's only four that mattered. Only four that mattered.
You've only played in 64.
64.
64 postseason games.
Road.
Yeah, on the road, yeah.
I meant total games.
You meant total, okay. Yeah,
wow, jeez,
right.
Like 64.
On the road, 64.
Did that at my first 5 years. Who's counting? No one cares.
Your famous line. All right, before we get to all the topics and all the fun tonight, we have to give a shout out to our subscribers.
No.
And our fans, our viewers, listeners.
Thank you, because if no one listened, we would not be doing number two.
I mean, I think everybody does a number two, but I'm saying, like, what's number two? Oh, the number two.
Toilet humor.
That totally went over my head.
High level toilet humor.
Richard smiled at me when he said it, so I thought it was a poop joke. My bad.
I wish you could all
not be doing an episode two.
Oh, okay. There we go. There we go.
If no one listens.
There we go. There we go.
And of course, because you have main control of this, RJ, people are going to be able to hear it from here on out on a bunch of platforms. iTunes, Spotify.
Ooh.
Right?
Okay. No,
Google Play? There are people that reached out and they wanted to know if it was on Google Play. It is on, and will be on Google Play from here on out.
No, that and that's mainly because our main guy, Rafa, who does everything for us, I had absolutely no control over that. But when people asked where could they get it from, it was like these are the outlets that they wanted it. So we wanted to put it out there for everybody and make sure.
Outlet store of where our podcast
geez.
Like the Nike outlet, the Ralph Lauren outlet.
What would this podcast?
Oh, don't sleep now. Look, that Nike outlet hooked your boy up. Them Jordans were 2 years old, but I had them crispy, though.
Oh, my gracious.
We have so much to get to, and we're on a time limit.
Oh, man.
So.
You know what? I don't believe that was some of that was I don't one believe of,
that,
in time.
That was I know. Time
it's
is a misconception. Yeah. If you guys don't know what that's
shout
about,
out to Uncle
Drew. That's our boy Kyrie Irving. He was awesome and joined us for a full hour on number one. episode one. I had to clarify that before Channing made it into a pee joke.
Oh, my bad.
It's okay.
All right. Well, a lot of people obviously want to know. This is the title of the podcast is about road tripping. So we're going to get into what you guys do kind of a little bit more on the road, especially here in New Orleans. But also we're going to talk. I can't believe it's Sunday. It feels like it's like a Wednesday. But the Super Bowl, that's coming up in a few weeks. And we got both teams. So we'll get to that in a moment. We talked about Fry Island in episode one, and there were some T-shirts made.
Yeah, well, it was funny. There were some T-shirts made, but they weren't made. Let me rephrase it. There were some T-shirts purchased. Apparently, there's an actual Fry Island in Maine. Is it off the coast of Maine of something? So there's an actual Fry Island.
I only know it in the left corner of the hardwood.
And so and that's what I know it from. But there's tons of Fry Island shirts, and our trainer Cobra bought everyone a bunch of Fry Island shirts. So they're going to be floating around. I'm going to have to repost some stuff that I think Channing might have posted. Did you post any of the Fry Island shirts?
I think I did. A little here and there. So, you know, I think a big shout out to Fry Island.
Oh, gracious.
You know what? Fry Island is kind of like a 50-50 thing now. You know, I'm slowly turning into a 2005 throwback big man rolling to the hoop 67% of the time. I looked at the stats. You know, we just got to work on making layups, and I'm good, dog.
Oh, but this is the thing you have to understand about making layups is that Tristan is one of the best field goal percentage guys in the NBA. He makes 55%. If you do that, you'll be tops in the league. 55% means you make one, you miss one. You make one, you miss one.
Oh,
so,
man.
So it's like
if you
miss two layups and you make two layups, you're going to be tops in the league.
Oh, man.
You're
fine. I didn't think about it like that.
Yeah, that's all you got to do.
I did not think about it like that.
Simple percentages.
Simple math.
Again, math disability, guys. I'm a shooter. So it's like if I miss one, I'm like, oh, God, no.
No, not again.
I have to make this
not
next
again.
One. Yeah, not again.
I missed two in a row.
Oh, if I miss two in a row and there are easy butt naked ones, oh man, I'm in the Matrix.
Go postal.
Yeah,
becomes a mental game.
Inside my mind is like an explosion of bad.
How often did you do the mic and drill?
Oh God,
till you were horrible. Dizzy. Oh, you were bad at it.
No, I was a horrible basketball player, so I didn't do it.
He's not lying.
Every day,
not lying.
30 aside, same hand, same side.
Explain it for the listeners. Not everyone understands mic and drill.
If you're facing the rim, mic and drill. One right hand, the ball comes through the net. You have to catch it with the opposite hand, your left hand. Grab the ball, make a left hand layup. That's one, okay? 30 aside. Then you have to catch it reverse. So if you're on the left hand side, you have to shoot a reverse right hand layup on the left hand side. Then you're now underneath the hoop.
Okay, well, we're gonna break this down as what Channing is trying to say is that
it's a lot of layups for no reason.
This is the most basic drill in the history of basketball.
Next to layup lines,
there's layup lines.
It's all about footwork.
And then a layup line.
It's the foundation of every good big man.
There's a technique called the mic and
drill. It is in every kid's camp.
Every single kid.
Like that's how basic it is.
Teaching how to do a left hand layup, shooting free throws, basic ball handling skills, like doing the spider. Like those are things that are so big. Stop complaining. Are you complaining? Why are you complaining?
He's not complaining, but he's actually giving me the perfect opportunity to let all of our listeners know that in about 30 minutes, we're going to turn over to our Snapchat gods.
Yes.
Right here. It's going to be our Oh Snap segment. So if there's anything you want to know, Channing was actually just scrolling through his Snap
as we
speak.
So many.
Anything you want to know, these guys are going to pick a few.
Keep it PG.
Answer,
guys.
Yeah, PG. Not 13, PG. Yeah.
PG.
Answer
PG.
As honest as possible. So that's coming up in a little bit. So you still have, obviously, things to look forward to. But, hey, last night, before you guys took on San Antonio, I had someone come up to me on the concourse.
Yeah.
And they were like, Allie. And I thought they were going to, I don't
attack
know.
You.
Well, I just have a conversation with, you know.
Were they coming at you crazy?
No, not at all. Because I'm going to give a shout out. His name is Chris, a young guy.
Chris,
he was awesome.
Up,
but I didn't know what he was gonna talk to me about. Right. And what do you think he talked to me about?
Your amazing sideline ability. Did he want to talk to you about
your upgraded
watching,
fashion sense in 2017?
Did he want to talk to you about your ability to do the mic and drill when you played at Toledo?
The history of Toledo basketball.
You guys have officially struck out the podcast. He wanted to tell me how much
your
he enjoyed
purse.
The podcast. And you know what's so,
you know what's crazy? That's not a shameless plug when you're talking about it on your own podcast.
Right. No, it's definitely
not.
That's
at
not
all.
A, no.
No.
Continue.
But what's funny is you guys thought, you know, it'd be interesting for viewers to understand and have a look into what you guys do on the road. But that's actually what viewers really do want to know. He actually said that. I thought it was so cool because I do sit there often and think, what do these guys do on the road? Do they even do anything?
No, Chris, we don't. Chris, I'm gonna
talk. Here we are in New Orleans. What are you guys doing?
I'm gonna talk directly to Chris right now. Chris, we don't do anything. We sit around. We don't do much. Channing giggles. Channing does really inappropriate things like a 2-year-old. You know what's it's funny is we were talking when we were when we were talking about the stuff with the podcast. It was more of you actually just hang out with different friends. You get opportunities to see family members. You get opportunities to see friends. Actually here just kind of hanging out in New Orleans with us right now is one of our friends, Andy. I went to college with him. So,
like,
give the full name. Give him the full name.
I like the last name.
Does he have a Graham, dog? No, blow his Graham up.
His name is Jaspin.
What's your Graham? What's your Graham?
At what?
H. A. Jaspin.
Why we're
okay,
are we,
cool. Blow it up.
We're gonna blow up Andy Jaspin's Instagram.
100%.
No, but you end up spending more time with people, and trying to pass time.
So you're saying that, like, for instance, I actually have some family members that I never really get to see, but every time we go out to Utah, I mean, that's an automatic. Let's try and get them tickets to the game. It's an opportunity to go to dinner. You guys actually do take advantage of all of that.
Yeah, well, there's nothing else to do when you're in 80 – when you play 82 games and you're traveling in random cities, what else are you going to do? We hang out. That's one of the good things about having, you know, a guy like Channing who we've known each other so long. We end up going to movies. We end up going to dinners. At least you have somebody that's not just kind of like a forced connection through a teammate or just you're getting to know guys like when you get to a new city. At least you have somebody that you know pretty well so you have similar interests or we'll go watch the Arizona basketball game. We'll go do something just because we're just trying to kill time.
Ooh, did Arizona beat UCLA?
What? Yeah, but what? That's a common thing. Like beating UCLA, like
big that's game,
that's not really something that we like get excited about. It's just more of something that is just kind of Arizona beat UCLA
again. Dirtbags is cracking
again. Yeah, Dirtbags is great. Dirtbags,
Dirtbags.
Will you guys let Kevin know?
Kevin, what?
Oh, he didn't understand the $100 bet rule.
He understood.
What's the $100 bet
so
rule?
So in the NBA, there is an automatic bet. If your school plays each other in football or basketball, it's an automatic bet, $100. Like there's no debate, there's no nothing. So it's like Arizona sucks at basketball, sucks at football.
We're rebuilding.
So for 20 years.
That's so kind of you.
So we would lose money. I would lose money during football season, but a lot of times I would make it up during basketball season. So there is an automatic $100 bet that is known throughout the NBA. And if you see guys like Kyle Anderson that played for the Spurs, I saw him before the game. And unfortunately, the game had already been finished. But a lot of times we'll kind of see each other in warm-ups and be like, hey, Arizona got UCLA, automatic bet. And, you know, guys will say automatic. So you can get some money from other guys, from other teams.
Just put the check in the mail?
No, you just next time you see each other. Next time you see,
1986 girl.
It was just a figure of speech. I mean,
no. Next time,
damn, homie.
Yeah, but when
about that Benjamin.
Okay.
Yeah.
That blue thing.
Thanks for setting the blue thing.
That's what the kids.
No, it's not. You're lying. You're lying, Channing.
I wouldn't say I'm lying. I've heard it once.
No, jeez.
From the mean streets.
You realize that? Do you realize that thousands of people are going to hear you talk like this?
Yeah.
Just making up blue things. Well, I heard it once. The kids are saying this.
Yeah. Well, in a couple of weeks, there's going to be thousands of people here in New Orleans for All Star. What are you guys coming here?
No, I will not. I will not be.
You
one
have
of those
plans
people.
Already?
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to go. I'm just going to go back to California. I my home. I'm very fortunate. My residence is in a pretty relaxed, you know, vacation spot. So that's just kind of where I chill. I have no desire to go to any hotels, any islands, anything. Just send me back to LA. Let me sit there for a week.
I want to drink drinks with umbrellas in them.
You don't want to go to Portland? You don't want to go back to Portland in the middle of the winter?
You know what? No, I'm cool. I'll see them in July. Don't go to Puerto Rico with my people.
Your people. And you
I
mean
got
your,
friends down there,
your wife,
how much
your wife
the,
and three kids.
Yeah, how much has the way All-Star is now, adding a few extra days now that it's a week, how big is that?
Huge. Oh,
really?
It's so
huge.
Much better.
Yeah.
So
actually enjoy it.
I was going to ask, do you really enjoy it?
Yes.
Before, it was like You get one day, like let's say you play on Thursday, you get Thursday night, all day Friday, maybe Saturday, but then like you got to start working out Sunday, start working out Monday, and then you play on Tuesday or Wednesday. So people who are like in the shooting contest or the dunk contest or in the actual game, you didn't have a day off. You flew out on Thursday night, Friday you're doing something, Saturday or Sunday you're playing, you know, and then Monday you're back to practice, Tuesday or Wednesday you're playing. It was just like
it's quick. And even on the travel days, like we've played, I played the last game on ESPN on Thursday night. So like, let's say you're in Chicago, you play an 8:30 game, you're done. There's no flights out of Chicago. So you try and get the first flight out. Let's say if you're trying to go to California, first flight to California, you basically get there Friday morning. Then you go Friday, you have it Saturdays. You know, some guys will have to leave either Sunday night or Monday night. But now with the longer break, at least you get an opportunity, you know, to get a couple more days to relax and unwind. But before it was just like, you know, it was a gap. I've seen teams, I remember Portland one year had like a full week. And other teams had like 3.5 days. And it's just now that you've established that it's an entire week and guys can kind of unwind, you can relax, you can go see your family, you can take your family someplace. You know, I'll tell you this, being around Bron, being around guys like Tim Duncan that have been in the All-Star game so many times, they love and they respect the All-Star game, but – they would love 4 or 5 days off in the middle of the season. Like I know Tim Duncan one year was like, I really, really, truly wouldn't mind actually not making this and getting an extra like 5 days off.
So I was gonna say, are you guys just now like it's a good thing that you're not in the All-Star game or you're not an All-Star?
I gave those pumps up a long time ago. Boat had sailed, and now I am walking the beach with my margarita.
Yeah, and it was like – it happened quick for Channing, too. It was like – and with the eighth pick, the New York Knicks select Channing Frye, who will never make an All-Star game. So that happened fast for him.
You know what? I figured my skill set was solid role player. You know, good locker room guy. That was where I was going.
No, when you're a young guy, that's all you want. Like Kyrie, Kev, like these guys, that's all they want because that validates all the hard work. That validates everything that they have put in, the time, the effort, the broken bones, the torn knees. Like the fact that, you know, Kyrie has an opportunity to be a starter in the All-Star game 1 year away from tearing his knee up in the NBA Finals. You know, Paul George being able to come back. You know, that's part of the validation. And so, you know, when you get a little bit older, like LeBron's like, yeah, I'm going to show up like a day and a half before the All-Star game. I might just, you know, take the fine and not show up to the media because it's just like, where are they going to ask you the same silly questions? It's like the Super Bowl media. Like,
but it's also an opportunity for those guys to do a lot of things out in the community and stuff, isn't it?
So let me just ask you this. Do you don't think LeBron does stuff in the community?
No, that's what I'm saying. It's an opportunity. So it's not like he just goes and plays in the game. Like there's still so much that he's doing that weekend.
Well, and
outside of just playing.
It's a lot.
I know it's a lot. That's what I'm saying.
And you're talking about bringing your family down here. You're talking about bringing your mom, your dad, your kids. You're talking about, you know, the hotels are just jam-packed with autograph seekers, media. It is actually – just because you're not playing in games, just because you have a couple days off, it actually can be more taxing than just staying in your regular routine of a season, you know, where you play one game every other day or you have 2 days or maybe a back-to-back and a day off. Going over All-Star Weekend can be more taxing because you have so many media obligations. You're on your feet a ton. You're expected to do this. And there's the competitive juices that come with being on probably, you know, one of the most televised, you know, events of the year. So, you guys watch?
Do you watch?
No, I don't watch.
The game?
Yeah.
It depends if, you know, the bar has a TV.
You're all about these drinks with umbrellas, aren't you?
The thing is like, you know, during the season, we got to keep things pretty chill. And it's just like, when do I have time to just kick it and relax? Like, I'm going to All-Star Week with my brother and his girl and my family. It's like, I get to literally stay by a beach, like a nice resort, and just not have to worry about nothing the next day. Like, there's no schedule for 2 days. Like, 2 days of nothing. Like, I, like, relish in that. Let me just be lazy, sleep, eat what I want for just 2 days.
Do you work out a lot? I don't.
Yeah, Yeah. No. I got a fat gene, so. Oh, yeah. It'll be like, okay, so let's say our last game's on Thursday?
Yeah.
Thursday? Thursday
this year
night.
It's on Wednesday.
Oh, it's on Wednesday?
This
okay.
Year it's on Wednesday.
Wednesday night, I'm going to have a good time. Thursday all day. Thursday night. And then
I start
Friday.
Drinking really early on. I start really? Drinking like between like 10:30 and 11.
Yeah, yeah. I'm definitely a mimosa,
yeah.
Bloody Mary guy.
Yeah, Bloody Mary.
But
like
then
at breakfast.
Saturday, you know, start to have like some wine at dinner. Workout Saturday afternoon. Sunday, start running a little bit, lifting. Monday, now I'm hitting the treadmill, 30 minutes an hour, maybe twice. Tuesday, like,
can
I'm
you
back.
Really get out of shape that quick?
No,
well,
no,
yeah,
I,
yeah.
Do,
no,
I
the,
feel
the,
weird.
The shape that you want to be in, like,
yeah,
the
yeah,
peak
yeah.
performance,
you're
like,
on a
you're the defending champion,
and you're not the most athletic guy, you have no room for error. So it's like, let me get my 2 days, and then I'm going to get back to being who I am. Let me run on a treadmill, walk the, you know.
Oh, the South Bay workout will be in full effect.
What is the South
the
Bay
South,
workout?
The South,
this. I don't know how Richard comes in shape ever.
Yeah, it's amazing. What are you talking about?
He plays volleyball and does CrossFit.
Yes. First of all, have you played sand volleyball? Jenny, don't give me that. And not only.
I wish you guys could see my face.
I wish yes, you could too. And not only that, you can't just stand at the net and hang your hands up because you're 7 feet tall. Like that's
all the time. Yeah, they kill me.
Yeah, you're trash.
Super trash.
No, but you're really trash. Like T dot rash.
My ankles haven't been mobile. Well, so
anyway,
proper.
No, the South Bay workout is typically it involves some sort of bike ride.
Like casual?
Yeah. No. Oh yeah.
No,
yeah.
Like
casual.
Riding a stationary bike for 15 minutes.
He's lying. It involves like riding the bike along the beach. At some
casual.
Point time. And then you go again, I know this is gonna, you're
past
gonna
do, Beverly Hills 90210
no,
apartment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like
so I
casual?
Live right by for all the older listeners out there, I live right next to the 90210 beach house that Donna used to make out in. It was really great.
She's my favorite.
Oh jeez. No, so all we do is that, I do yoga, I do
I'll
soul cycle, I do CrossFit.
All in one day.
All in one day. I try, like, if I can get three workouts in, so they go 8:30 to 9:30, you can go to SoulCycle. Then I'll try and do, let's say I do 9 to 10, 9 to 10 CrossFit. Then you can go to the 9:30, 10:30 SoulCycle class. And then after that, I take, like, a break, eat some food, and then I'll do 12 to 1 o'clock yoga. That's my day. And then I go home, I'll take a nap. And then we'll probably play volleyball somewhere around 3:30, 4 o'clock.
And it's competitive.
It's pretty competitive, but it's older guys because I'm still, even though, you know, I'm tall, I'm athletic, so I've been playing for a while, but I'm playing against guys that used to play at USC, used to play at Pepperdine. They're, you know, they're a little bit older. Some guys are better than others. Luke Walton, the head coach of the Lakers, is actually really, really good. He won the big there's a four-man tour that goes through Hermosa, Manhattan Beach. He actually won the big tournament, the Calcutta. He won that this past year.
The Calcutta.
So, no, it gets really, really competitive. And dudes have gotten fired up. They yell at each other. You do, you know, it's intense. But that's how I stay in shape. Like, I'll shoot. I'll do those things. But as far as, like, getting your mind clear, getting away, but still – you know, keeping your energy high and staying in shape, that's what I'll do. That's the South Bay workout.
So for all of those wondering how you're able to meet KD at the rim and Clay at the rim.
Yeah.
Compete in a finals at the age of 36.
Well, you have to
it's
work
because
out.
Because of the South Bay workout.
Well, and that's all
he's
you do.
A genetic freak. Let's just keep. He could not play a day of sand volleyball in his life. And Richard is a genetic freak. So let's not give all the credit to
but that's where
sand volleyball. I've seen this guy like 20 pounds overweight and in 2 weeks is shredded beef and just from running up and down his block and shooting spot shots. It's absolutely amazing.
You saw that when I was 23 years old.
No, you were like 26.
Oh wow. 26 is still in your prime.
27.
Like I am, okay, you're just adding years. That's not going to validate your statement.
29.
I can't do that at 36. Like you no, see, you like, so now Channing will have my back in this. Like the old NBA in 2001, it was very different. You would use training camp to get in shape. Training camps were a lot longer. Like, it was just a different vibe. So, like, as the league has changed a lot in the last, like, 10 years or so, like I was not the best at my off-season training regimen. Like, it took me time to develop it. But where I am now, today, in the last, like, 3-4 years compared to what I was, like, in my mid-20s, how different is it?
It's 100%.
How much, though, how much of that comes from Channing Tatum, how much can you account for his competitiveness?
I think,
you know, when like sometimes people can just like step on a court or step into like competition and like there's just like a switch and they go kind of nuts, the thing like is crazy.
Like this. I think like
what are you trying to say?
Yeah,
Channing so already said that you're crazy.
And he is crazy. Yeah. He is crazy. Yeah. And I think, you know what? I think
after you got a technical for
like,
winking,
you know what's funny? That you crazy is that like people only saw me also like after the trade deadline and. Like, you know, the finals and all that kind of stuff. But now that we have a full season, I hate losing. And so everyone thinks I'm this nice. But, like, mentally, I cannot stand, like, losing. I feel like I work too hard. I feel like, you know, I feel like our team is too good. So any loss is like, yeah, I understand sometimes why we lose. But, like, internally in my mind, I feel like it's, like, the grossest thing ever. And I get really mad. And I'm a genuinely happy person 99% of the time.
I think
time.
It's kind of fake to tell you the truth, your happiness.
Not a chance.
And but, you have a family and, yeah. and stuff that you then have to go home to?
Like, oh, no, but there's a switch, though. There's like, I give myself 15 minutes.
Okay.
15 minutes. Don't talk to me in those 15 minutes. If you joke with me, it's not a jokey time. It's
No.
Is
it the car ride home for you?
It's the car ride.
It's
home.
The car ride. Home.
Right?
The car
okay.
Ride
it's the car the ride, car home ride home because home so I will key. Call and my boys know, Channing, what happened? And I'm like, A, B, C, D. And by the time I get home, I'm like most of the times my boy Doug or my guy DB. And I'm like, they understand now, you know, even though they like didn't grow up around basketball, they just know me. Of like, all I have to do is break the game down, turn off the emotion, turn on, okay, this is what I have to work on tomorrow, and I can relax.
Wait.
But sometimes on this team, I feel like some things are out of my control at times, but I don't, like, my mind doesn't understand that. So, like, some days if we lose, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go in tomorrow, and I'm going to do all plyos. Because if I could jump 6 feet high, I would get more rebounds, get all the dunks, and do this. But that's not realistic.
It's definitely not realistic. Genetics will not allow you
No. I got too much, you know, I'm, you know, I don't want to talk about my genetics, but, you know, I got good hair. And so it just didn't work out to the hops.
Good hair that you were supposed to grow out, and then all of a sudden you. Yeah, and then he
got
his.
But you know what? That's me, though. I live in the moment.
But hey, everyone killed him. Bron, everyone killed him when he cut his goatee. Yeah. He cut his goatee without talking to all of us first. Like, you can't make these drastic life changes. Like, he cut his goatee.
Are we gonna keep it 100 right now? I'm gonna keep it 100 on the podcast.
100 PG.
No, super PG. Super PG. What? Okay. Here's the true story of what happened.
They messed it up or something.
No.
What did you do?
I was at my man DB's house, and he had the trimmers. So I was like, oh, man, because the hairs were tickling
your lip. Oh, my gracious.
So I didn't know what kind of guard he had on there. So I went, buzz, and it, like, buzzed my stuff, right? It buzzed half of my, like, my mustache. So I said, oh, damn. Right? So I literally for 10 minutes was contemplating, do I just give myself a buzz because now I had to shave the
I was
whole
terrible. Oh, you understand?
So
he
got had to find
these
a barber.
Mistakes happen at the age of 33.
He got on the bus and everyone was so upset. It's like, you can't
so
do that.
Upset.
Like, you can't do that without conferring
like,
with
I
us.
Literally spit in their face. Like, yeah, I was just like, I'm cutting my mustache off. That's how mad they were. And I thought I was trying to play it off like, guys, it's nothing. Yeah. My mustache was so tickly. But low-key, I could not tell them.
Thank you.
They'll know
that you made a mistake.
That I made a mistake and my man didn't have a guard on it. And it buzzed my stuff up.
Oh, and then it was Bron and Kev started doing his shooting percentage post cutting his goatee. It was not very good.
But that was when I started rolling to the hoop all the time because y'all kept yelling at me.
Yeah, roll, please. But how funny is it though that the car ride home is really that decompressed time? Because when as soon as the game is over, like we do, was it something I said or you know we. You have family and friends there, you know, wife and kids come out. So you hug the wife, you hug the kids, you say hello, you walk out, you might sign a few autographs, you do that. And it's like, you're still stewing. Like sometimes you see guys get out fast, sometimes get out slow. You're still stewing. But what happens is that you put everybody in the car, you go, it's like, okay, I'll see you home. I'm right behind you. And then that 10, 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes that drive home. It's like, I'll stop and get gas.
I ain't doing the speed limit.
Yeah, you're definitely not. But that time is the decompressing time. And as a professional, you learn you can't bring your work home with you to a certain degree. Mm-mm. But that time allows you to either turn up the music, turn off the music. I have driven home with no music in my car for 30 minutes, just hands on the steering wheel, just in my thoughts, like more times than
worst.
I can count.
That's the worst place.
You know what this makes me think of? That perception that players in the NBA, teams in the NBA don't care until the playoffs.
No.
And that's so wrong, you isn't it? That assess... it doesn't matter until, you know, that perception they don't play till the fourth quarter or they don't play until April.
So if people, if they were to watch the last game, you couldn't tell both teams were playing dumb hard all game. It's just they are very top level teams, coaches, players to where it just so happens up eight doesn't matter, down eight doesn't matter. Because that's two or three possessions, and it came down to one shot, basically. Right. LeBron misses that shot, we lose the game in regular, you know, regulation, it's all good. Or let's say Patty Mills misses that three when we're up two. Mm-hmm. That would have been game. We would have got the ball, something would have happened good, we would have scored. So it's like the game comes down to one or two possessions, and so during the regular season, you can't dwell on it as much because you're not playing the same team. We won't play San Antonio for another 2 months.
And you have another game. So it's like saying that you don't care is not accurate. It's just that I can't dwell on that loss. I can't dwell on
memory.
That. Yeah, I can't dwell on your that performance. What do? I wake up the next morning. I go get my work in. I go make sure my body is correct. I go do this. So it's like I don't have time to sit here and be like, no, that was a really tough loss. Yes, some losses hurt more than others. Sometimes you're more emotional. Sometimes you're more frustrated. Like, obviously, that the loss on or the win for us on Christmas Day this past year was a big win. We were excited. It was the first time us seeing it. That was a big win for us. Then you follow it up like a month later and we play against them. We've been on the road for 12 straight days. Mm-hmm. Like, we are exhausted. Like, guys have nothing left in the tank. We had multiple guys that were kind of banged up. And this isn't an excuse, but it's like, that's the difference between the playoffs. It's like, in the playoffs, we're not going to be on the road for 12 straight days and then go play Golden State that has been sitting there for 10 straight days at home, rested, waiting on us. That's not realistic. No. So it's like, yes, the playoffs are different because everyone has a similar amount of rest. Everyone has a similar amount of prep time. So it's like, yes, the playoffs you care more about. But it's like in the regular season, it's just there's just too many games and there's too quick of a turnover to sit here, especially if you're an above average team. If you're a below average team, then
every game matters.
If you're an average team, then every game matters. So it's like you can get frustrated. But the key thing is to try and stay even keel because you don't want to get too high. You don't want to get too low. Things are never as good as they seem. Things are never as bad as they seem. And to that point is I was once told that winning streaks are harder than you think and losing streaks are easier than you think. Because losing streaks, like if you lose five in a row, you start going places and every team now is like, well, we don't want to be the team.
No.
We don't want to be the team that they end this losing streak. So you get to 8, 9, 10 in the row and they're like, well, no, they're not going to end on us because then we're going to be the laughingstock. So if you go play a team, but now a winning streak is hard because now wherever you go, every team is like, we want to be the team that wants to end this winning streak. We want to be the team.
And they might be doing a scouting report where you haven't had time to practice, where your team is not really like ready or prepared for that. So they might say, you know what? We're going to trap every screen and roll. And you may be a huge screen and roll team, right? A guard heavy screen and roll team. And so all of a sudden your coach is like, damn, what do I do now? We've been winning, you know, 20 out of 25. And all of a sudden somebody switches it up and they're trapping everything. So now it's like, wait, what do we do? Loss, loss, loss. So the point guard's like, damn, what do? We've been winning this way. We haven't had time to practice because we've been on the road. You might lose four in a row. Next thing you know, guys' confidence is going down. Guys think they have to do more than what they have to do. There's some kind of looking at each other. Is it your fault? Is it my fault? Is it coach's fault? Is this the right team?
It's everyone's fault, but
yeah,
not
it's
mine.
It's everyone's fault, right?
It's everyone's fault, but mine. It's everyone else's fault, but mine.
You know, and it's just crazy about the NBA. It's just games come, one. So you just got to be ready. It's like, you know, hey, you miss some shots. Are those the same shots you're going to take the next game? Practice it. Go play another one.
Do you think the NBA should cut back on games?
No.
Preseason games?
No. Preseason, no one plays in the preseason. You need the preseason. You need the preseason. The preseason, for young guys, you allow younger guys to get experience. and then you need that balance, and you allow older guys, yeah. times to ease into the season. And if it's like, look, if it doesn't, it's not like we're preseason football where you can get really, really injured. Like, no, very few injuries happen in the preseason. This is not something that I think is detrimental to the game. But you're weak, though. That doesn't matter. But I'm just saying, preseason doesn't really matter. Like, if you want to shorten the games and you're going to shorten the checks, and I don't think anybody's really into that.
No.
Speaking of preseason football, how about postseason football?
Oh, my gosh.
The best.
Let me give a shout out to you, Channing, because Richard said no one would care.
Dude, the Falcons. I told you. Offense,
but how did you lose?
Unbelievable!
Tell everybody, tell everybody what happened. You owe me money.
Then I bet on the Steelers.
What?
I thought
Ohio people, you know the truth. Never bet on the Steelers.
I didn't know that.
Never bet on the Steelers. And me. Now that I'm about to, I'm about to have a son. I'm about to have a son born.
Honestly, he's so hilarious. The video of him avoiding the cushions of like the pads, it kills me every time because it's like, what am I going to do this? I'm 6 foot whatever, 250 pounds. Get off me. If you ever see him play football, like if I actually like lifted heavy weights, I feel like I would be like a Ben Roethlisberger of quarterbacking because he just off like defensive linemen grab him and he grabs them and then he pushes them off and just throws the ball with reckless abandonment. And it's absolutely awesome to watch.
Do you know where you play college football?
You've told me 4 or 5 times,
no, I have
but
not.
I purposely
I've never once told you.
Purposely,
Miami
no,
of Ohio.
Which you, is in?
Ohio.
No.
Miami?
Miami I don't know, of Ohio is in the?
The WAC?
The WAC.
The WAC.
Oh, my bad. I don't know what that is.
The
Mac and cheese?
Oh, okay.
Oh, my bad.
But we know, like, at the end of the day, like, I'm about to have a son born any day now. And
congratulations.
Thank you. And so for all the Ohio people out there, I will now have a son born in Ohio.
We feel so special.
You should really feel special, you know.
But you're naming him.
Oh, he's probably going to be named Phoenix. He's probably going to be named Phoenix.
I mean,
that's a great name. That's where I'm from. But just know he will be forever connected with Ohio and us winning a championship and all that other, you know, fun
awesomeness.
Stuff. Awesome sauce. All that great stuff.
Ooh,
so
I love the sauce of the awesome.
You know, the Ohio thing, and that's why I was always going to bet with Ohio. And bet against the Steelers, and it worked out in my favor. Not really bet for the Browns. Let's calm down now. I got a lot of respect for them. I think it takes time to turn things around. But speaking of the Browns, speaking of another segue, my boy Alex Mack.
Oh,
now,
I was
some people you were you didn't pick I, up on that nope. segue. So some people might not know this, but if any of you people follow me on Snapchat, what I think at least one of you do. Last summer, I had a balloon fight with Alex Mack. He lives literally 2 doors down from me. He was having a rager at his house. Great guy, a Cleveland Browns fan, or Cleveland Browns former player, then signed with the Atlanta Hawks as a free agent. And now
the Atlanta
he's
Hawks? Or the Atlanta,
Atlanta,
Hawks?
Atlanta God, excuse me, Atlanta Falcons.
So the winning Hawks, team, right?
The winning team.
Congrats, Falcons!
They're in the Super Bowl.
Offense
so
rules!
I'm just saying, as a next-door neighbor, as a guy, like, I'm stoked for him. I'm excited for him to have the opportunity to go and participate in the Super Bowl, especially considering that he has spent his first however many seasons with the Browns. So first season out to go and be in the Super Bowl is special.
Maybe the Browns will be in the Super Bowl next year.
Wow. Okay.
Let's segue to our snap segment.
I'm saying this. For the Browns to make it to the Super Bowl next year would be astronomical. I would love to be a part of that. I would love to be a part of that in the city of Cleveland, in the state of Ohio. But that's also like saying they're going to draft somebody crazy good. Then they are going to get every free agent possible that is ridiculous. And they are all going to mesh under a coach that is going to give them the right system to beat all these teams that have been going to the playoffs for 10, 12 years in a row.
So basically you're saying it's not going
to
happen.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying
a lot has to go right.
A lot has to go right. For them, I want them to go to the playoffs next year. I want to be a part of that. I want to go to a playoff football game, not
in Cleveland.
Arizona.
Yeah, in Cleveland.
In Cleveland.
Hey, you guys came back from down 3-1. Anything's possible.
Anything is possible? No, I can't do that.
All right, guys. Open your snaps.
No.
Do you have any that you would like to answer?
Ah, wow. It's going to take
a second.
And
you're on the clock, so.
Yeah, we got
Not that clock.
Okay, well, how about this? This is pretty random. This has nothing to do with anything, and I'm really trying to figure out why they would ask this. Lind006, what is your go-to on-the-road gas station snack?
Oh, man.
That's kind of crazy.
That's a great one. That's a great one. So,
Lind006.
Damn. When's the last time you've been to a gas station?
Well, no, I go to gas stations all the time. We asked Bron that. When's the last time he filled up his own gas tank? He was like, it's been a while. I think my go-to gas station snack are probably sour cream and cheddar chips.
Oh, God.
The Ruffles. Amazing. I know, right? No, those chips. I probably get those chips. Like, if I was just, like, in that type of mind frame, sour cream and cheddar chips from the Ruffles and probably, like, an orange Fanta. Something along those.
No. I like to get the most expensive water, no matter what it is. It sounds bougie.
You're so bougie.
But I feel like I'm impressing the clerk because they're like, oh my God, you actually paid for this? I'm like, yeah, I did.
Really?
Right?
You're impressing the individual.
It's the little things, okay? Just let me be me, okay?
Oh my God.
Look,
people, I'm so sorry.
I go for the peanut butter Twix. Huge fan. Reese's. And if they have a sugar donut, I'm a big just sugar, like granulated sugar.
You get all of this in one trip?
I mean, I don't eat what are your Reese's thoughts? And stuff
okay,
at the same
okay.
time.
Snickers ice cream bar That's or disgusting. Choco Taco?
Oh, Choco Taco all day,
no.
every day.
You know Snickers ice cream bar.
Do you know what a Choco Taco is? Choco Tacos are amazing.
Give me a regular taco from Taco Bell.
Jenny, are you going to shout out any of your snappers?
Hold on.
What do you mean, hold on?
People are asking.
What is the most embarrassing secret about Channing he knows about me, Alex the Great? What is the most embarrassing secret that, like, apparently I'm supposed to tell the world?
Too many.
There's too many. I don't know if there's one secret individually that could be put out there. There's nothing. I'm drawing a blank on that one. Sorry, Alex. That was a good question, but to tell you the truth, there's not too many that How about this? Froggy Kong wants to know, what would your wrestling persona be, Channing?
Oh, man. Okay, here we go. I've been waiting. waiting for someone to ask me this question.
Froggy.
Here we go.
Froggy, he just lit up.
First of all, I'm coming out in just a banana hammock, right? Flat out banana hammock and flip flops. You know they wear the big. Okay, all right. A drink with an umbrella. Okay.
Are you gonna have like a side person, like a chick?
Of course.
Like an Undertaker?
But it's like my whole thing is welcome to Fry Island, right? And so my thing is my girl holds my drink, and I'm a top ropes type guy. So what I'm gonna do is maybe suplex the dude. My lady's gonna hand me the drink. Sip my drink, give it back to her, get up the ropes, bow, with the banana hammock on, boom, done. Welcome to Fry Island, homies. Drop the mic.
Did you meet The Undertaker?
Yes, I did. He's a huge man.
Yeah, that is a big guy.
I did not think he was that tall.
That's a pretty good wrestling persona. That's a good question. Thank you for that. Channing, you have been scrolling. Like, don't overthink it. Just open up
one
of them.
Can we get some help in here?
Just open up one of them. And let us know what you want.
Oh, somebody says
you their name.
Paul Kamel, Kamel 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Who's a better shooter, me or RJ? Not even freaking close. My J is absolutely ridiculous.
Channing is a much better shooter than me. I have no problem.
Richard
admitting
got the
that.
Hops.
I have all the other abilities. Channing is just a much better shooter than me. But Channing,
I would say I'm a one dribble pull up.
No, whatever.
It's way better than
yours.
I
don't need to one dribble pull up. If I take one dribble, I'm trying to get all the way.
No, I'm not doing that. That's
too
much.
And at the end of the day, we can go total points in career.
Oh, damn.
We can go.
Okay, so one more. Dennis Cadiesel, right, said, talk about who you think is the best player of all time.
Of all time.
Oh.
Ooh. Outside of. Best player of all time. Well,
Let's not say the Jordans and the Wilts.
No, let's not do that.
Let's not do it. Sorry, we're not going to
answer
that.
I don't feel anything positive comes from that conversation. I will say this, and I can allow everybody to lose their mind over this, and I've had this conversation multiple times. Of our generation, I have been in the league 16 years. Tim Duncan is the best player of our generation, by far. You look at his winning percentage. When you look at Kobe Bryant, an amazing individual talent, one of the great players of all time. You know, Tim Duncan, people say, is the best power forward of all time. But Tim Duncan has more MVPs. He has the same amount of championships, a better winning percentage. You know, just if you look at, you know, how many, like I said, how many finals MVPs have. And truth be told, Kobe Bryant might have been the second best player in the world, but he was the second best player on three of those championship teams. That's why Shaquille O'Neal has three finals MVPs. Tim Duncan has three finals MVPs because he was the best player on three of those five teams. So if you go at the highest board, finals MVPs versus regular MVPs, Tim Duncan has two, Kobe has one. Like finals MVPs, regular MVPs, all that stuff down the line, including winning percentage and consistency. If you had to start a team today and you said, who do you take, Tim Duncan as a rookie or Kobe Bryant as a rookie?
Wow.
You got to take Tim Duncan. You got to take the big, what he does defensively, what he does offensively, the fact that he was just such a valuable guy. And yes, I played with Tim, so I'm obviously going to be biased.
Right.
And, you know, yes,
I'm going to play devil's advocate because
both of them had Hall of Fame coaches. Both of them have Hall of Fame coaches. But that being said, like, Tim never missed the playoffs. Like, he won 1,000 games.
But Tim winning, he never had bad players around him. So is that Tim or is that the system that he's in?
We talked about he never had bad players.
Yeah. Like he never had bad players around him. He always had Tony.
Oh, and
Manu.
And Kobe struggled with players around him? Yes.
Kobe for two or three years. No. Kobe in the middle of his career after Shaq, he had some iffy years. He had some iffy years with some iffy teams.
I completely understand that.
I'm playing devil's advocate. So.
I'm not disrespecting Kobe. Kobe is, you know, the best two guard of our generation, probably the second best two guard of all time, right there on par with Michael Jordan. This is not a disrespect to him. I'm just saying if you had to start a team today and you looked at Tim Duncan and everything that came with him, Kobe Bryant and everything that came with him, how do you not take Tim Duncan when you look at his resume?
He's got
more MVPs, more finals MVPs, same amount of championships, more playoff appearances. Like, you just go down the line. So, you know, to answer that individual question, my personal experience in playing against both of them in the NBA Finals. I played against Kobe in the NBA Finals, and Shaq won the finals MVP. I played against Tim Duncan in the NBA Finals, and Tim Duncan almost had a quadruple-double against us in Game 6. A quadruple-double.
And this conversation could continue, obviously, but we're out of time.
We are out of time.
We're out of time. So for those of you who love Kobe and think that RJ is wrong, just remember that
back in
2006 on this day.
Oh, Kobe had
– He did put up 81,
which is the most impressive individual performances. We have had conversations saying that we don't believe that the Will actually scored 100. We think that someone's grandmother had a birthday, and they were like, yo, my grandmother turned 100. Will you, like, take a picture holding this 100 up for her? You know, like,
funny.
There's conversations on our team with guys who will remain nameless that really believe that it. So, like, there are some statements made that we think Kobe had the all-time greatest, you know, scoring performance in NBA history, not Will. So.
There you have it. Next. Exactly, Rafa. Subscribe iTunes, Google Play, Spotify. We want your feedback. We want your likes. We love you all.
If you don't like it, please talk to Richard.
If you're not a fan of Channing and his banana
hammock,
I apologize.
You asked. Listen, if I became a wrestler, I'd be killing that
if you didn't like anything that you hear today, just please make sure you tell all of your friends how much you hated it and how much you can't stand us and how bad they have to listen to how awful we are. And make sure they subscribe only so that we can keep doing this. Because if we don't get subscribers, we just can't keep doing this. We just can't afford this setup.
No, I know. Yeah, Rafa's expensive.
Rafa is really expensive. This wine is not cheap.
It's non-alcoholic, yeah, though.
It is
fake grapes.
Yeah, it is fake grapes. You know, with the twist-off cap. Yeah, that stuff is always the best.
Next road trip, we're in Dallas.
We are. Are we going to do
episode
another,
3?
Are we going to do another one in Dallas?
I'd love Dallas. So.
Yeah. Well, we just need 45.
Can you give an hour? An hour to your listeners?
Maybe. It depends on how many subscribers we have.
Oh,
wait a second.
If we got over 5,000, then I'll do it.
5,000? That's kind of high. I was hoping for like in the hundreds.
I know. I guess set your goals high.
He told you he doesn't like to lose.
No, I know.
I don't like to
lose. He doesn't.
He has great
Come
expectations.
On, people.
Which is weird to me why he signed with Orlando.
And on that note, until
next
time.
Oh, my God. They were rebuilding.
Mic drop.